Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. I thought that number one would always be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought that I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley too wide. Down on my knees I've learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think that I'll make Jesus my all in all. When I'm in trouble, on His name I'll call. If I don't trust in Him, I'd be less than a man. 'Cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees is where I've learned to stand. Can't even walk without you holding my hand. Can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Thanks.
There you go. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures, too. Shall we pray? Lord, we're your people, and this is your book. Thank you for your incredible faithfulness. You honor your word. You keep your word because you are God and you are faithful. Thank you. So we open the book, Lord. Had you not told us this, we could not have known it. We're so grateful for using Paul as you did, that raging maniac that was attempting to kill anybody who was following this new way of trusting in Jesus as Messiah. And you apprehended him, Lord. Thank you for the incredible changed life. Thank you for his arguing in the synagogues, then proving from the Jewish scriptures that Jesus is Messiah. And thank you for his writings that come down to us today. Thank you for the relationship he had with the Corinthian people. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures, that you have preserved them, that they are yours and they are without error. We cling to them today. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, one verse, verse 12.
Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. I'm going to read it once more. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known.
So many lost in death left us just recently, and so many of you are struggling with it, and y'all are asking me questions. Not that, you know, Myron and I have all the answers, but the Bible speaks to our loss and our understanding of this difficult world in which we live. Isn't it strange? You lose somebody that you love, and you go through the funeral and all that stuff. That's the legitimate place to grieve. And then after the funeral, everybody goes home. And since they weren't so attached to your loved ones, they go back to their normal lives, and you go back to struggling late at night when nobody can see you, wondering how this happened to you. And you can't really talk to anybody about it because they think you should get over it, right? You have questions. We all have questions. It just is a very, very difficult place for several of us to be right now. In the midst of our questions and answers, we must come to take a square look at what's happened to us. Paul here speaks of our present lack of understanding and the wonderful promise that one day we will understand. He talks about the now and the then here, which to me is beautiful and really profound. I had another sermon prepared this morning. I worked hard on that thing, man. I was ready to roll. And as of last night and through this morning, I got all these questions. And so I changed gears, and I want to talk to you about this instead for a few minutes this morning. I want us to see just very simply that Paul said that right now we don't see a good image. We don't see a good reflection. We see in a mirror, and it's dim. Well, back then, you know, they didn't have mirrors like us. Back then, they used polished pieces of metal. I mean, now, shoot, we've got HD everything, right? I went into Candy's bathroom. She's got one of those magnification mirrors. And it's, you know, one of those whoom, whoom kind of things, you know? Yeah, I turned the light on and looked at me. It was not pretty. You know, from a distance, when you're losing your close-up sight, you think you look pretty good. Then some turkey puts that up in her bathroom, and you got to look at yourself, and whoo, man, I don't like that HD stuff. You know, a lot of the news women that are working today in media, they hate those HD cameras. They're saying, turn that, they want to go back to old technology, because it takes so long for them to get ready, because you can see every little imperfection. Debbie and I have a family member who is perfect. I mean, physically perfect. And she's not young. And she was complaining to Debbie the other day. She's really depressed that she found a wrinkle on her knee. You've got to be kidding me. So, anyhow, yeah, so the mirror. But back then, it was just, you know, not easy to see yourself in a reflection. In fact, have you... When Debbie and I go to restaurants, she's always checking her teeth. You know, you got to make sure. Some people are just very picky, and she's look. And she, what she picks up in a, you've done it before. She's picked up a butter knife. You've done it. Come on, I know you've done it. Doesn't work very well, does it? That's what Paul is talking about. Trying to see your reflection in a polished piece of metal. It's not a very clear picture at all. But God is gracious, and he does tell us and give us some things that we can know on this side that'll help us. You have great loss in your life, and all of us wonder why. We all look for a reason. Have you been to those funerals that someone young dies and the preacher preaches and preaches and preaches and tries to press people into trusting Christ, and he goes way over the top with that? I'll tell you why they do that, because there's been a tragedy and they're trying to see something good come out of it, and they're forcing it. You know, sometimes we just need to cry, hug one another, and realize we don't understand it.
There are a lot of things we don't understand. But there are a lot of things we do understand. The one thing that we understand is that we don't see clearly. I mean, that's the number one place we have to start. If you're gonna be able to heal beyond this moment in the midst of your loss and anger about what's happened to you, you got to realize that you don't see clearly. We see a poor reflection right now. Listen, if you claim to see, first of all, you're lying to yourself. And second of all, you think you're a know-it-all. We'll get angry at God and we'll make like demands on him. That's not a wise place to be. Do you remember in John chapter 9, there was a man who was born blind? The friends of Jesus, his disciples, said, "Lord, who sinned, this guy or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither reason. But this has happened for the glory of God." And Jesus healed the guy. And the religious leaders went nuts because they wanted to prove Jesus to be a false teacher and a shyster. And of course, this man, being interviewed by the religious leaders, just kept telling, "Listen, all I know is he put stuff on my eyes, told me to go wash, and I can see. That's all I know. That's all, you know." And they said, "Come on, there's got to be more to it." And he said, "Listen, all I know is I was blind and now I see." "Well, who is this guy?" "I don't know. But this is what he told me to do." And Jesus found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And the man said, "Lord, tell me who he is. I'll worship him." And Jesus said, "It's the one who's talking to you." And he bowed down and worshiped Jesus. And Jesus said, "For this reason I've come into the world, that those who can't see would be able to see. And those who think they can see would see they're blind." And what's really interesting about this, the picture of the story, it's about this guy being healed, but he's an illustration to these religious leaders who claimed that they understood. And when we start claiming that we understand everything, we're just proclaiming our own personal blindness. They said, are you talking about us when you say those who, you know, claim to see are blind? And Jesus said, yeah, that's in the Greek, yes. Whenever we claim that we understand stuff we can't know, we're actually proclaiming our blindness. So that if you're going to begin a journey of understanding about what we're going through, we've got to understand that we don't see very clearly. That's really a wonderful thing to know, too, that we don't see. And then we see that we live in a broken and hurting world. We can see that. That's clear to us, right? The world is broken. I told you one of the reasons that drove me to Jesus was that the world was so beautiful and so ugly all at the same time. How did it get that way? And I found in the Bible the only answers why. But I mean, the pictures of it are everywhere. I mean, in your life, just 3 days ago, I was looking at pictures that my nephew Michael took. He's Swiss, and if you go on my Facebook page, you'll see a picture of him last time he was here. He went out in the backyard to make a little snowman and put him in his hand with a little carrot. He found a little carrot in the refrigerator and little sticks for his arms. He's just this little creative guy. He can't help it. When he first came, they didn't have squirrels where they lived up in the Alps. No trees, right, so high up. So he was taken with the squirrels, as he called them. "I take picture of squirrel." He's taking picture of the Alps now. And he has such an incredible eye for perspective and depth and beauty. And the pictures that he's posting, and I'm absorbing all of these. You shake your head at the beauty of this place. And the same day I'm standing, holding the hands of a family, standing around the bed of their child in ICU at Children's in Detroit. What the heck happened? We can see that clearly, that we don't see very clearly. And that the world is a broken place. Here's something else we can know that we got to cling to. And it's this. The Bible reveals why it is this way. It shows us the world as we see it. There's something about the Bible. When I first discovered the scriptures, when I first started reading them, I found a book that depicted life the way I really saw it in a real world. False religions depict a world that doesn't exist. Some imaginary thing. The Bible deals with the real nitty-gritty realities of a broken world. In fact, several people who came to Christ through the centuries have said, "When I read the Bible, I found a book that understood me." It's so relevant and so wonderful, but it shows us the world as we see it. It's not a pretend fantasy, and it reveals why it's broken. You see, we live in a world where choices matter, where people matter. I mean, if you make a decision, good or bad, it affects a lot of people. God created people that matter. We're just not robots. We're people that have choices. We are people that have free will. And that is the rub. Because our original parents chose to go wrong. And when they went wrong, it affects all of us to this very day. There is a curse on the human race. You can see it everywhere. This beautiful place. It's like looking at a beautiful world that's been bombed by a nuclear bomb. You see the touches of its beauty and what it was, but you see that it's broken. That's why we can have Mother Teresa and Mussolini all in the same world. Choices matter. I'm reading a book, Rodney Crowell. Oh, Brian, a good Texan, Rodney Crowell, songwriter. He grew up in a family in West Texas, and his dad was a raging drunk. And his mother was a Christian, but she went to every wacky tent meeting you could find in the world, of every guy that claimed to have a gift of prophecy and every weird thing in the world. And here Rodney got raised with this extreme of a raging, violent father, an unstable religious mother. And it was just this awful situation. And as he writes in his book, China Berry Sidewalks, in the memoir of his early life, I mean, it was awful. No wonder he's a confused guy. You see, those people made choices, and those choices affected Rodney's life. And there's other people that, like, grow up in the Brzee family. If you'd have known Marlene Brzee, you would wish she was your mother. She just passed away. She's a wonderful woman. And that family is just wonderful people, because you had a mom and dad that loved each other and loved God. And their decisions changed the direction of their children's lives. They went in a right direction because they steered their children. Do you see? People matter. God just didn't make a bunch of robots. Let me say something to you. In order for love to be real, there has to be free choice. God did not create a world of Stepford wives. You seen the movie? Programmed people that would do what their husbands pleased. He created a world of people that mattered. Now listen. We don't like the situation the world is in. We all cry over how broken it is, but we did this. God didn't. And you say, well, why didn't he stop it? Why didn't he? I'll tell you what. God, if he had done it any other way, we would not be human. We would not be persons. So there was no other way to make people. The world is broken, man. It is a broken place, and we can see that it's broken. The Bible reveals why it's broken. People make choices. Those choices matter. And the reality is our world is a result of those choices. And so we can understand that, even though we're seeing a poor reflection. We can understand that. It's very important. But let me tell you something. It's not just that we have limited insight right now. It's not just that we live in a broken, hurting world. And it's not just we can understand why the world is broken. But let me tell you something. Paul says something in this statement. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. In the midst of your awful situation, I want you to know that you are known. When Jesus saw people, what was his reaction throughout the Gospels? It happens. You hear the word compassion over and over again. The proper translation is a deeper thing than compassion. It's the idea of, I'm so moved on the inside by this. I'm so moved. Jesus saw crowds, and he was moved with compassion for them, because the scripture says in Matthew, they were like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to know you are known, and he is moved by your situation. You're not just left alone. You are known. Who knows you? I'll tell you who knows me. Well, of course, Debbie. If you ever want to know anything bad about me, ask Debbie. She's experienced it all. I always drew such great comfort from knowing that my mother knew me. If you ever knew Marjorie Hampton, you knew a real class act, a wonderful woman who raised three boys and a husband. An incredible lady.
incredible lady. She knew me. Whenever I was in her presence, I knew she knew every detail of my life. And I knew that she observed my life now. We had conversations. In the last year or so of her life, we would take an afternoon every week and just the two of us would play golf. We'd go out to Genesee Hills. I'd get her in a cart. She was a cancer patient at the time, and we would drive around and play golf and talk about life. The comfort of being with her, because she knows me. She knew all there was to know. Man, that's a comfort. I want you to know what you're going through is awful, but I want you to know you are known by him. Do you remember Jesus' friend Lazarus died? Do you remember? And remember, you find the shortest verse in the Bible when he enters the cemetery with Lazarus's sisters and their friends. What happens is this. It says, Jesus wept. And what it means, he exploded with weeping. It wasn't just a little tear in the eye. He wails. And you think, oh, you know, why is he wailing? He's going to raise his friend from the dead. Well, first of all, you know, you got to understand, being God, he knew everybody in every grave and every heart that broke over every one of those. He knows it all. To know is difficult. But he knew. There's something more, though. His friend had died. Yeah, that. But well, you know what I think is the biggest thing that moved him when he got to the graveyard? Were all the conversations he had just had. You see, when Jesus got the word from Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, they just sent him a simple note. He who you love is sick. They knew Jesus loved them. They knew he would hightail it right there and heal their brother. And he didn't come. He did not show up. He waited a couple of days. He waited to make sure that Lazarus was dead and buried for 4 days. Well, that might seem cruel. And when he got there, they all said, Lord, where were you? If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And there's people all around them weeping. He sees their pain, all of that. Not only does Jesus have compassion, but he sees you. He's moved by you. He's moved by your lack of understanding. He's moved by your confusion over what's just happened to you. You see, because he couldn't tell them right then what he was going to do. He had to show them as time went on. And luckily for them, it was just moments beyond those conversations. For us, it's going to be more than moments. You are known. Here's something else, too. You are fully known. He says, then we will know as we are fully known. There is not a detail of your life that he doesn't know, that he doesn't care about. Jesus even said, the hairs on our head are numbered, right? I mean, that's an amazing way to put it. I know the loss is awful, but I want you to know this is not the end of it. This is the now. I want you to know the then is coming when we will understand, when we will see. To me, that is beautiful. You can know that it's coming. In fact, you even ask the question, why is it that we long for more? Why do we even ask the questions? I'll tell you why, because there are answers. How could we know we were meant for more than this? Because the Bible tells us that God has put in the hearts of mankind eternity. And we just know. We don't quite know why we know, we just know. My friend David Wilcox wrote an incredible song. That's what the lonely is for. When I feel lonely, that's only a sign. This room is empty, but it's there by design. When I feel hollow, that's the proof that there's more for me to follow. That's what the lonely is for. Why? Because it's coming. That's why. Did you ever see the movie The Vow? It's a story, a true story of a record producer in Chicago. A young guy married a sweet girl, and they had a wonderful marriage and relationship. Everything was going unbelievably great, and they were in a car accident, and she forgot everything, everything. And when she woke up in the hospital, she didn't know who he was. All she remembered was the rich, affluent parents that she was estranged from. She didn't remember that she was estranged from them. They were all she remembered. So she went back to them and left her husband and divorced him and actually started dating the creep that she dumped in the past because she didn't remember that he was a creep. And this young man, the husband, loved her unconditionally for a few years, until even though she couldn't remember, she realized how much she was loved, and they were married again. It's a great story. Not a story you want your children to see, let me say that. Don't get popcorn out and say, oh, kids, now we're going to watch a movie. At least PG-13, okay, so don't do it. But the storyline is a true story. The human race has forgotten where they came from. The prince of men have fallen, and they don't remember. So I'm going to close with this. Jesus came here to deal with the curse. I talk about it all the time. But this awful situation has been cleared up by Jesus, by his own death on the cross for our sin. He died for us in our place. When the fullness of time had come, the scripture says, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those under the law. He came here to fix this for us. And one day, for all who trust him, we will be taken into his glory, and we will finally understand. We will finally see. We will finally know, even with the great detail with which we are known now. Listen, I know that's not a full answer. I know it doesn't fix your hurt. But these simple things are the things, are the groundwork, the foundation for you to start rebuilding after this great grief. So God bless you guys, okay? I hope that helps. Let's stand together to pray, please. Come on. Lord, we're not good, but we're yours. And we are so grateful for that fact. And even though we don't understand, thank you that we can understand that we don't understand. And even though we don't fully understand, thank you for what you have revealed to us. We are so grateful for your love and care. We don't understand why all these things have happened, but we do believe in the goodness of who you are and the faithfulness. And we do believe that you sent your son, Father, that you sent Jesus to take all of this on for us when he died in our place. We look forward to the full reconciliation to take place one day when we are face to face with you. But in the nasty now and now, may we cling to the then, knowing that one day we will know. We love you and thank you for your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.